everyone. Welcome to a new episode of the Fashion Grunge Pod. I'm Lauren.
Hello, I am Charles. Thank you for calling General Apparel West.
It's time. It's really time that it's been episode 179 and we're just getting to Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
Yes.
Charles has been screaming for, I think, 3 years, if not maybe the entire length of the show, to do this movie. And I kind of was really embarrassed to say that I hadn't seen it fully. I kind of was like, I'm embarrassed I haven't seen this movie.
I mean, you kind of react the same way when you tell me to start watching that show on Netflix with Cillian Murphy.
Peaky Blinders, yes.
Yeah, thanks.
But you're not embarrassed that you haven't watched it. You're just okay. Yeah. You're like, I'm just going to keep saying it and just make you think I've seen it. Someday you'll see it. But this time, I feel like the last show you mentioned it and I was like, okay. I need to like bite the bullet and just like really own up to the fact that I have not seen this and I know that I'm going to love it. And I kind of am more embarrassed that I haven't seen it until now. But I love it. And then and also, I have to say, I'm glad that I saw this as an adult because, as I just told you off air, this like hits different when you've worked in corporate America. Like, this is a whole other level of like comedy, but also like trauma at the same time. So I'm glad that I know both sides of it and don't just think it's the silly movie. But
yeah,
we're here.
I don't know about you, but Rose Lindsay has been like my feminist icon since I was about 9 years old. So
that explains a lot. It's like, I feel like the perfect women of the 90s that really like exemplify this like bitch, like executive realness is like Joanna Cassidy, Delta Burke, and Candace Bergen. Like they are like the pinnacles of what you think of like working women in the 90s. Like, I do love that Christina Applegate, this was like her first starring role, and she was amazing.
No, she was like so good. Like,
so good.
Because, you know, I'm sure she had done other stuff. I think up until now, her famous role was as Kelly Bundy, you know, and, you know, Kelly's like, you know, a bombshell and she's hot, but she's not like stealing petty cash and trying to work on the goddamn QD report, you know?
Like, poor Kathy. Poor Kathy, who had to actually do it. But also, I had no idea. Shout out to like Cunty Mulder, the Cunty Mulder and Scully team trying to like foil Sue Ellen's, you know, job at the business. Literally, Bruce and Carolyn, I was like, I would watch an entire show of them. Put them on Melrose Place. Get them on Melrose Place. Like, no. Please.
Like
they're so good.
I know that we're like supposed to hate them, but I thought they were hysterical. Like,
amazing. And David Duchovny, what is your secret? You look exactly the fucking same. Even in this was before X-Files, right?
Oh, yeah. I think X-Files didn't come out until like 93. So.
Damn. And then this was like, was she 1 year into playing Kelly Bundy? Wasn't Married with Children like 90?
I thought it was longer than that. I thought it was like 88.
Oh, let's see. Married with Children. Oh, 87. Oh, shit. Oh, okay. So she was like already well known. Mm. She was like already Christina, like Kelly Bundy when she did this.
Okay.
Cool. Okay. That's really funny.
Christina Applegate always struck me as like a fun celebrity to just like go and get like coffee with, you know, like
she definitely seems like a good time,
you know, because like, you know, she's going to like have like, you know, just, you know, start, you know, like have a like laundry list of things that she wants to talk about. And you're like, oh, you know, I stopped eating this. And, you know, I got into an argument with so-and-so. It got a little violent. But anyway, don't worry about it. I'm going to pay for your coffee. So,
oh, my favorite Christina Applegate, like, alleged story, or I'm not sure if it's a story or if it's a real life story, but, or if it's like a rumor or whatever. But apparently she was like dating Brad Pitt during like Thelma Louise fame. Uh-huh. And she was at, I think she was dating him during, maybe he wasn't on Married with Children. I think he was on Growing Pains or one of those like 80s sitcoms or whatever. But okay. Apparently she was like at some award show. I think it was 89. They went to the VMAs. Uh-huh. And she She fucking ditched him in the middle of the show. Like, she ditched him as a date, and you'll never guess who she left with.
Who?
Sebastian Bach from And I was like, I hope this is true. It's apparently all alleged, but I think it's so funny. And apparently they asked her on Entertainment Tonight, they said, like, what's the dumbest thing you ever did? And she said, one time I ditched Brad Pitt for this other dude. Oh my god, it's so funny. So then it also said, like, Sebastian Bach says, so there was some time on this earth when Sebastian Bach was, like, a hotter lay than Brad Pitt. Of course that's going in the book. I've got to tell somebody that. And so now it says Applegate never confirmed whether or not Bach's claim was actually true, but then both of them moved on. But I thought that was so funny that she just, like, walked out on him. Great. So she seems like a good time.
I mean, Brad Pitt kind of seems like he wouldn't be, if you didn't know him that well, he might not be all that great to talk to. And it seemed like Sebastian Bach could, like, really, like, just be like, silly and stupid, you know? And,
I know, like, fun.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like he'd be really fun. I feel like I don't think, especially Brad Pitt in the late 80s, like, I'm trying to think of, like, this is, like, kind of sort of fresh out of Missouri. Mm-hmm. He just kind of gotten to Hollywood, so he's still kind of, like, quote, normal.
Yeah.
He's not, like, super famous now, so I feel like, what was he even into? I don't even know. You know how I know, like, random facts about celebrities? Like, I know Tom Cruise wanted to be in, like, go to seminary, I think, before he ended up acting. Like, he wanted to be a priest. Mm-hmm. And then a few other people, like Jack Nicholson. Oh, I just watched Chinatown for the first time. Anyone who has not watched it, it's fucking great.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to be an animator. And I think that's why he went out to LA. So they always have, like, sometimes other things they wanted to do. I feel like with Brad Pitt, I remember he was in college or something, and he just kind of, like, dropped out, and someone was probably like, you're hot, you should go to Hollywood. And he's probably like, all right. and then just happened to, like, luck up on, I mean, I don't know, before Thelma and Louise, I guess, like, a soap opera or something. And then just ended up, you know, becoming an actor. But I don't think he, like, wanted to. I don't think he was, like, a child actor or anything like that. Yeah. But yeah, I love this movie. I thought it was so good. The fashion was great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was so, like, 90s, but, like, executive, like, bitch, goddess, like, Michael Kors, like, insert Michael Kors, like, Project Runway description here. Like, whatever he says, like, 1970s.
Very, you know, very, very, you know, Flavina, you know, strolling along the coast of Crete on the islands of Mazuzu.
Yeah, he has the weirdest description, like, that funny YouTube clip of just him, like, his random descriptions and, like, insults for things are so funny. He's like, it's like rigatoni Mad Max.
Like, it's fashion. It's fashion.
Lighten up. It's just fashion, you know? Lighten up. Season 2 of Project Runway is great. It's on Peacock. I highly suggest you watch, like, the early seasons. It's, top tier.
It's just incredible television. Like,
I just purposefully put on the one the other day where it's like, it's a motherfucking walk off. Daniel was like, when Zulima, like, stole Nick's model, and it was like this huge drama, and she was like, I want to have a model walk off to pick my model, and they're like, oh, what? It's a motherfucking walk off. Like, it was so Zoolander. It was great. It was like, it was so great. Oh, I love Project Runway. I love old Project Runway. So yeah, what is your history? Because you have more of a history with it. So hit me with your history.
This has been a childhood staple of mine since I was about 9. So
oh, wow.
I believe that there was a short period of time when I was you know how, like, sometimes you'd, like, play with kids from the neighborhood and they'd just be like, I want to play Ninja Turtles, and they'd be like, okay, well, after we play Ninja Turtles, do you want to play Ghostbusters? And they'd be like, okay. And so I sort of got to the point where I was like, okay, I know we just did what you want to do, but I would like for you to play Sue Ellen and I'll be Rose.
The kids are like, what?
I was like, what are we supposed to do? I was like, well, you sit there and then my office will be through the archway there. And and anytime I ask you a question, you always say, I'm right on top of that, Rose. And thing is, I know you're not taking this very seriously, but we need to start working on the QED report now.
We have to pretend that, like, Steven Spielberg is right there. Yeah. Like, we are filming a movie, and we are, like, working for the children, like, the rent is due tonight. You better fucking own this shit now. And the kids are like, huh? You're like, you just sit there, and I'm just gonna yell at you. I'm just gonna yell random things.
Yeah, yeah. So, for, like, some reason, they were not a fan, so I don't know why, but...
Aww. I bet they regret it. I regret it.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'm just rewatching this movie recently. I forgot how genuinely like funny it is. Like,
yeah,
and, like, there are just like so many like story beats throughout the plot. They're just like, what? You know, like just like that like scene where like, you know, they have their car stolen and like Kenny and Suellen like turn to each other and are just like, Liza.
It's yeah, just so, it's just like what?
It's just like so weird, as if they like personally know her, you know? Like,
yeah, well, you know, like we're just like, what are we gonna do? Tell them Liza stole our car? That was the most chaotic thing. And on the Letterboxd reviews that I found, it's just like so funny. People are like, wait, the car is stolen by drag queens. What the hell is this movie? Yeah. It reminded me of Nowhere when their car gets jacked by that like weird what are they called? They're called the Atari Gang.
Oh yeah.
And it's like and it's just like what? And then those weird drag queens they end up seeing and going to that party. It just reminded me of that. I was like, what the fuck is this? And it was that Buick too. Like they and she's like, I love that car. But I love that car.
Yeah, but you stole it from the dead lady.
Like, and I love how like that's it. Like I thought throughout the movie there was gonna be like some consequence with like the parent, like someone knowing that she went to this house to work for this family, or some long lost relative being like, hey, where's my grandma? She was supposed to be working. And they're just like, hold on. And I thought it was going to turn into like Weekend at Bernie's, but like it didn't. I was like, wait, so we're just not going to see the babysitter at all anymore. And then at the end we get like this gravestone that was like, nice old lady. It was like, nobody ID'd her. What the fuck? How did the mortuary just accept an old woman in a trunk and like ask no questions? Like just buried her like with a tombstone. Like who paid for that? So many like other questions.
Well, probably the cash that the mother left to the kids at Mr. Eck had on her, you know,
which I wanted to know how much it was. I wanted to know how much money she gave that babysitter for 2 months.
I mean, I would say it had to be at least a couple thousand dollars, right? If not more.
Yeah, for groceries. Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, she was probably told, you know, no, don't worry about the bills. I'll worry about when I get back. But I mean,
more adult questions. I need to know everything about this mom and who the boyfriend was and what the fuck she was doing for 2 months in the summer when her kids are gone. I mean, when her kids are off of school, that's when she decides to go.
How is that not a movie in itself?
Like, yeah. They're doing a sequel. I forgot to mention they're doing I don't know if it's a sequel, it's a remake that I've already finished. I think it's the general same premise. Mm-hmm. Although I think it's I think it's a black family. But yes. That's I think the only difference. It's just like a more diverse story, but I feel like I think it's the same story.
I have to say, usually I'm just like opposed to remakes in general. Having watched the trailer for this movie, I'm not against it, because I think that like Nicole Richie plays Rose, which I'm kind of interested in seeing.
Oh, nice. I love her.
And I think that June Squibb plays Mrs. Sturak, and I actually really like her too.
Cool. Yeah, it might be kind of good, because this story, which is what I really like about it, is that it's a really kind of broad story that you could easily kind of remake, and it's almost like you could just tweak certain things, but I feel like it's nothing that's so crazy that it has like a distinct visual style like The Crow. It's nothing that's like that where it's like hinged on its like visual style. This is like a fun kind of movie that I feel like will be cool to remake. Like it's just it's just fun. I'm excited to see how they deal with it.
Yeah,
what do they do?
Like, you know, I mean, is Paycash still a thing? Like, I mean,
yes, that was another one of my notes. Was this like the way that you feel smoking a cigarette after not having smoked one for a long time is the feeling that you get when you first discover the concept of petty cash. Like one of my notes in the story was just like, the first day you start a corporate job and they tell you about petty cash, because I didn't know what it was and one of my jobs had it, and then I was like, wait, there's just like cash? Could I like use this to like get a six pack and then just like bring, I mean, I never did that, but yeah. I was like, could I in theory? Like, wow, this is cool. But yeah, it is kind of funny.
I mean, the thing is, like, Rose's directions were kind of vague. She's just like, you know, listen, I'll authorize you to, like, cash personal checks and, you know, for our employees. Yeah. You know, we worked such hellish hours.
But... Yeah, there was no, like, real rule. Like, yeah. It basically was just like, whatever, I'll sign off on whatever you want. Like, if you owe your dealer some money, like, it's cool. Like, yeah. She was like that. The way that she was treating Sue Ellen when she came there, because she thought she was an adult and everything. So she was just like, yeah, whatever. I have to say, too, as a fashionista and a fashion fan, I love that on her resume, she said that she was, like, a designer at Comme des Garçons in Tokyo, Japan. I was like, what? You worked for Ray? That's so crazy. I was like, that's why she took one look at her resume and she was like, oh, hell no. She's, like, my boss.
Yeah.
Like, this is wild. I just pulled all this out.
Did how during that brief impromptu interview, how Rose was like, I mean, come on, you're a Vassar gal, you know? Swamp's just like, oh my god, am I?
Like, yeah, she just like went like, fuck, I didn't study what I put down. Did I write that or not? It was so good. And then my last note for first impressions was the California Raisins sheet as like a death shroud was peak 90s. Like, when that was the sheet they grabbed off the kid's bed, I was like, California Raisins. That was ultra peak 90s, so I enjoyed that. I thought that was cool. Cool. All right, so let's move on to behind the scenes. Did you dig anything up?
I did. Originally when Winona Ryder was attached to this movie,
I could see it
for the role of Sue Ellen, but she had to drop out because she was filming both Mermaids and Edward Scissorhands.
Oh, wow. Two bangers.
I know, right?
God.
Then apparently they really wanted Justine Bateman, but I guess she had to drop out. There was a brief period of time when the role of Melissa was being played by Jennifer Love Hewitt, but apparently she couldn't do it because I don't think like Disney would let her out of her contract.
Ugh, fucking Disney, of course.
And Kenny, played by Keith Coogan.
Is that Coogan like the Coogan Law? The same family?
Oh, I don't know.
Let me see, because Jackie Coogan was that child star that got that law, you know, where they have to put money, like 60% of the money aside.
Oh, interesting.
Otherwise the parents will get it. Hold on, let me see. What's his first name? Keith Coogan?
Yeah, Keith Coogan. And he was actually also in Adventures in Babysitting.
Oh, yeah. That's another one I haven't seen fully.
It was good.
That's like this one. It's like this Troop Beverly Hills. We were talking about it last time that it's, I think he is. Yeah. He's the grandson of Jackie Coogan. Jackie Coogan was a child star. And I believe like the 40s, like a long time ago, like early Hollywood. And he decided, well, his parents, I think, were stealing money or something like that. So his money was being taken from his parents or whoever. So there was a law called the Coogan Law that came in. Let me see. When was that law enacted? Oh, wow. Oh, his mom. Okay. So what happened was is like Jackie Coogan earned $3 to $4 million at that time. When he turned 21 in October of 1935, his fortune was believed to be intact. And then it said his assets were controlled by his father, who died in the car accident 5 months later. Then he soon discovered that the entire amount was squandered by his mom and his stepfather.
Oh, wow.
And he was, the guy was like a financial advisor for the family, but basically just took all the money. Coogan sued them in 1938, but after his legal expenses, he only received about $126,000 of $250,000 remaining of his earnings. He went broke during litigation, asked Charlie Chaplin for assistance. Chaplin handed him $1,000 cash. And then he actually got all of this put into the Coogan Act, which is the California Child Actor Bill from 1939, required that a child actor's employer set aside only 15%, which is not enough, I don't think. That's nothing. But they have to put that aside in a trust and specifies that when they have like school work hours and when they have off. So almost like the child labor laws kind of thing. I think it should be like repealed and changed to like, I mean, like 75%. Like these kids are working. Like, I don't think the parents should just be like spending all of the money. I mean, that's just crazy. It depends on, I guess, the situation, because a lot of them like quit their jobs to like be on sets with these kids, but I don't know. It just should be more than 15%. But yeah, so he is the grandson of Jackie Coogan. So that's interesting.
Oh, cool. I'm trying to think. So originally Keith Coogan auditioned to play the role of Brian.
Weird.
And I was like, really? Okay. Well, thank God he wasn't.
Yay, Josh Charles. I love him. He's so cute.
I know. You just want to hug him, you know?
I know. Like... I love Brian. Good old Brian.
So apparently Edward Furlong was considered for the role of Kenny, but he wasn't able to do it because he was busy filming some pesky movie called Terminator 2 Judgment Day.
It would have been pretty great. I would have liked Edward Furlong and or like Brad Renfro.
Like, oh my God.
I would like a sassy. I mean, I did like him as Kenny, but I feel like I wanted a bit more from that character. I feel like I wanted like a better acting in that, like, you're really a piece of shit. Mm-hmm. And I want the stoner. Like, I liked his friends more than I liked him.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, I wanted like a stronger performance out of that. I mean, he was good. He was good for what it was.
I mean, you know, he kind of redeems himself by the end, but God, he's like so awful.
He's so annoying. Yeah, it's so awful. All those kids are.
Yeah. So originally there was going to be a more of a mystery element to this movie, where the babysitter's death was to be like much more elaborate, and all the children were suspects, and they all had their reasons to kill her.
I mean, but that would have been really good. That would have been like rated R, though.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, apparently this movie uses like the F word like seven times.
Yeah, so I heard a fuck you. I think twice.
Okay, and then finally, I'm sorry. Rotten Tomatoes critics give this movie 35%.
What?
Audience gives it 57%, which
that's low.
Yeah, I mean, this movie's incredible.
Like, yeah, it's so good.
Okay, and this is actually what I remember. In order, the showing in theaters was like, meh, you know, like it was fine, but like they were trying to increase stuff during like VHS rentals. So mm-hmm. I think they had this like contest where you'd like call in and like answer questions about the movie, and it was all weird stuff, like, you know, who was the actress who played Mrs. Sturak, like what was the model and year of her car. I think like one of the answers was like Mrs. Sturak was played by A, Estelle Getty, B, you know, Gertrude Mofferman, you know, or like, you know, C, the actual actress. I actually saw this contest, and apparently if you like got all the answers right, then you actually won a copy of Mrs. Sturak's actual car. So
what?
Yeah, you like won a 1955 model of a 46 Buick Special Riviera. So
holy shit.
So
did anyone win it?
Yeah, I believe so.
Oh my god. Do you remember those like really crazy contests that you would see like on TV? Like remember like Coca-Cola had one where there were like the things were under the soda caps?
Yeah.
And then there was like a code or like some numbers that you would like put in or you would like mail it away and then you'd get like, you know, just crazy stuff. I never knew anyone who like actually won a contest or I wish there was like a documentary made up of like all those weird like movie promos, like that one. Like, I want to find the person who won that car. And yeah. Be like, what happened? Like, did you get the car? Did you end up like keeping it? Because a lot of times when you get those things, like what happened when Oprah gave those people cars, they have to pay the tax and title, which is like several thousand dollars. So if you can't afford that, like,
yeah,
I'm like, but it's a gift. I guess you have to sell it or whatever happens. But yeah, I really want to know about from the people. Remember like the Monopoly game? I feel like there was a documentary made about the McDonald's Monopoly game.
Yeah. That was crazy.
Because that was like actually wild. Like people were like losing their mind. You would get Boardwalk and Park Place and then you would win $1 million.
Yeah.
And it was like, you would only have like certain number of those pieces like in the country and they were like scattered. So it was like almost impossible to have both pieces. But I remember one time my cousin got Park Place and we were like, okay, if I get Boardwalk, like we're totally gonna split this. And no, we never found Boardwalk.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it made us all want to buy McDonald's that summer though.
I mean, as a marketing tool, it obviously worked.
Yeah. I mean, it was pretty great. I think there was a scam actually that happened. And then there was a documentary made about like the scam they tried. They tried to rig the game somehow. Yeah. So there was something. It's kind of funny.
Oh.
Yeah. Do you have anything else?
Oh, yeah. And then finally, apparently the original title for this movie was The Real World.
Speaking of The Real World, we're about to talk Hawaii this month later up on Patreon. So everyone get ready. Get your intervention thoughts ready. Get your, you know, Kaya thoughts. Amaya, Colin.
God damn it, Matt. God.
God damn it. And then to like date Ruthie's like twin sister, like really took me out. Like I remember thinking it was weird then. And now I'm like, what in the fuck? I need this reunion to happen because I need all of them sitting in the room when they show them this video and be like, explain yourself. What the fuck? Like, it's just wild. But yeah, so look out for that in probably the next few weeks or so because we got to start watching. But yeah, I can't wait to do Hawaii.
Cool.
And then we have to do Miami.
Yeah.
So Miami's gotta be the next one. Miami's fucking wild. Cool. That's all you have for behind the scenes?
Yes.
Sweet. Okay. I just have a few more. A lot of the things I found were the same, but okay. IMDb gives it a 6.3 out of 10, which I also think is crazy low. Letterboxd gives it a 3.1 out of 5. You know how I love my Letterboxd. Budget was $10 million and it made 25.1. Okay. So I'm assuming that's just in the theater because I was, again, for SLC Punk that I recently did a remix of, I was trying to figure out what the DVD sales were, but I couldn't find like a reputable place that sometimes they'll list it, but in this way it didn't. So I don't know what it made on the other end. Okay, the one thing that's really sad about this is Christopher Pettiette, I think you would say his name, or Pettiette, I'm not sure. He plays, I believe it's Zach that he plays. He's one of the brothers. He apparently was like 15 when they filmed this, even though he looks a lot younger.
He
looks way younger. But he apparently had such a bad drug addiction problem that it almost derailed the entire film. And they had to actually cut out a lot of his scenes because of that. And he died in April of 2000 from a drug overdose.
Wow.
Which is so sad. He was only 24. And he was in the movie Boys because I knew that I'd seen his face somewhere when he was older. I was trying to think of how. But
he was also in a scene in Point Break.
Who was he?
I think he played the guy who Johnny Utah goes into like the surf shop. And it's either to buy a surfboard or it's like when he just goes to like buy a sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, he like plays the kid behind the counter and you know, and he's just like, I'd like to buy a surfboard, you know, and you know, he's just like, all right, old man, whatever.
That's Keanu. That's your Keanu. Yeah, I'd like to buy a surfboard. So he unfortunately that's amazing that he was in both of those in 1991 because they're like huge films. Unfortunately, I was reading about, now this is according to IMDb, it says, according to his manager, Bob Villard. Now, Bob Villard has come up in some kind of like alleged, like weird things going on in Hollywood. He was like a manager of a lot of young, like male talent. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to this on Beyond the Blinds podcast, has an episode on their Patreon, which is worth it if you are interested in like, you know, the kind of underbelly of celebrities and like blind gossip and stuff. And they were mentioning, so every time I see Bob Villard, he also was like a photographer who took a lot of photos of like the teen guys in those like Tiger Beats.
Ooh, okay.
So I don't know if anything actually happened to him. I don't know if he was ever actually charged, but if you basically Google his name, like you'll see it. It's everywhere.
Okay. Oh, wow.
And people have sued him in the past. There's a law where people have sued him. I think he's a lot older now, but he's taken photos of a lot of child stars. Like, oh, almost okay. All the ones when we were growing up. Like, Corey yeah. Feldman, Leo, Toby, just a lot. But when I saw that was listed in as his manager, and it says, according to his manager, Chris was just about, quote, impoverished, living on small residual checks. He went to a couple of AA meetings and never admitted to a drug problem. That's just what this says. And this is by anonymous. So that is really incredibly sad. And apparently yeah. he had a spouse that he was married to or a wife he was married to for like 6 months in 95.
Mm-hmm.
But it was an accidental drug overdose. He was in the Junior Olympics for snow skiing, and apparently he was really good friends with Toby Maguire and Leo because they were like all child stars, and they may have possibly been managed by his manager.
Oh, wow.
So there's like a lot of really crazy, weird connections too, yeah. like about him, but it's really sad that at that young of an age,
mm-hmm.
like he was so young in this movie, and that affected the film production. Like, yeah. that's kind of that's crazy. And he was from like Texas, so he wasn't from LA or anything. He was like far from home. I find that really sad and just tragic.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Yeah. So this film was slammed by critics, as we could tell through our Rotten Tomatoes score. But as most people know now, I'm last on this train, and you know, I apologize, but it's basically a cult film. I mean, I've been hearing about this film for years.
Yeah.
It's not like it's something I never knew about. But I knew that it was huge. And I think for some reason, I didn't know what it was about, really. Like, I did know there was some kind of fashion, but I was, like, trying to kind of go into it not knowing a lot because I really wanted to take this as a brand new film. I knew about that. I'm going to stay right on top of that, Rose.
Yeah.
And I think every time people would say it, I would just kind of, like, smile and nod, but I was like, I have no idea what they're talking about. I'm not going to embarrass myself and say that I haven't seen it. I'm just going to watch it. But we were talking about this before on the whatever the last episode was we were talking about, and it was, like, this whole genre of, like, kids, like, Drop Dead Fred, this one, Adventures in Babysitting, Troop Beverly Hills. Like, there were all these cool movies that came out around, like, the early 90s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They were smart and fun, like this one. So, yeah. And also Joanna Cassidy. I mean, she's been, like, she is an icon to me from 6 Feet Under, being Brenda Chenoweth's mother.
Yeah, oh, she's, like, so funny.
She's so good. And she's in the whole show, which is great. So she, yeah. like, pops in and out all the time, but I loved her in that, and I feel like she's playing herself again.
Yeah.
Like, she's playing whatever that Barbara, I think her first name was, but yeah, she's playing, like, that character again, which I love. I love when she plays it, so. Let's see. I don't really have anything else. I have just the similar ones that you had, but I have some Letterboxd reviews that are kind of funny that I like to read. Okay. One says, a chilling tragedy about how a young metalhead is brainwashed into conformity. Another one says, hold on, this single mom has 5 kids and she decides that because she's 37, she's earned a vacation. So she's leave them with someone she's never even met for 2 months while she goes to Australia by herself. You can just do that? Can I do that? I'm older than 37 and I have less kids to irresponsibly abandon. That's really funny. It says, imagine being in the hospital dying. The nurse walks in and she's wearing that thing that Sue Ellen designed. Like, what? That was a really insane nurse's outfit. Oh, God. This is the best one. This is by Justin La Liberty. Says, 3 stars. When I was 13, this played as a comedy. At 30, it's a thriller. So true. Let's see. 2.5 stars. David Duchovny has slicked back hair and spends the entire film desperately trying to ruin the fashion career of a child. Yeah, that's a good one. And then, okay, my last one is 2 stars by Dave Taylor. The trailer for this movie is so bullshit. It literally shows you a select portion of the storyline that represents about 12 actual minutes of the film. Let me tell you, 11-year-old me was pissed when I saw this at a drive-in. It was one of the few times I'd ever been to a drive-in, so the memory is seared into my mind. I didn't want to see the teenage girl become successful business lady storyline. I was all in for the, quote, old bitch sitter gets what she deserves, and the kids have a blast on their own for a summer story. And now, with the passage of time and the restructuring of expectations, I'm even less of a fan of this movie because I don't connect with either storyline. I didn't hate it, but I definitely won't be giving it a third viewing. Wow. I do love that they really were in for the old bitch sitter gets what she deserves, and the kids have a blast on their own for a summer. That's kind of what I thought until she made that like quick U-turn beeline when they realized they had no cash in that envelope. I was actually really excited, but then I was like, wait, what are they going to do with the body? Like, this is just okay, and they're just going to, like, sail on, like, and just have all this money. And then when there was no money, I was like, holy shit, it's a different movie now. And then it's like, wait, they're flipping a frozen pizza to see who gets a job? How old is Kenny? Is he, like, 16? Can he, like, mow lawns or some shit?
I think he's supposed to be, like, 15 or 16, yeah.
Can't they both work?
I mean, they should have.
Couldn't there be, like, some... I feel like there could have been something. Couldn't he be, like, answering phones or some shit? Like,
and, you know, and, I mean, for that matter, I mean, the younger kids should be pulling their weight, too.
She should have them... Well, she... I mean, this sounds really bad, but, like, Sue Ellen could have easily put them in that, like, that sewing factory back there, basically. Like, she'd be like, I have kids too.
I mean,
I have these 2 small children.
I mean, if she lied about her age,
yeah, she could just lie and be like, they're 18, they're fine. Yeah. Ew, and Gus, he was so gross.
That I feel like I've seen that actor like everywhere. Like, he looks so familiar.
Ew, he is so gross. Like, just the way that he is. And then, oh, there's so many great funny scenes. I mean, we'll get into it. We'll get into it. Okay, so let's move on to fashion. Carol Ramsey is the costume designer, and she did the damn thing.
10 out of 10, no notes. I thought the fashion from the movie was incredible.
Like, so good.
I'm trying to think. My, like, favorite fashion note for the entire movie was like in that scene when like Sue Ellen is trying to track down Kathy to find because you know Kathy's been like doing her work so she opens Kathy's office and there's a temp there, and she, I don't even know how to describe what I'm seeing, but
God, she looks so cool.
She is wearing what looks like a like 1987 like prom dress and like
taffeta like everywhere.
And she has like these like long extensions. I'm assuming that they're extensions.
I don't know.
It's hair that does things you do not expect is possible.
I'm looking to look for a frame. Oh, I got it. Oh, yeah. That could be her hair. Yeah, it could be her hair.
Okay.
But yeah, they're like braids. They're so cool.
Yeah, and like her only line is just like, it just sounds like, where's Kathy? You know? Yeah. she's just like, I don't know. I'm a temp. Can I help you?
She looks so cool too. She has a really cool like choker on.
Yeah.
Like, she has like this dope choker on. And she has a watch. Like, she looks rad.
She also has this really cool like big ring, you know, like on her finger. And I want her. She needs her own story. Like, how did
they all do?
Yeah,
like they really all do. They all look so fucking cool. I need more. I need more Bruce. I need more Carolyn.
Yeah,
like I need more Rose.
This is why this needs to be a series. Like, I mean,
it does. Yeah, this is a total series.
So I also really loved what Carolyn was wearing in like the first scene when like you know, when, you know, like, Swan goes up to her and she's like, you need to go down to personnel. But she's wearing a, like black jacket and a black skirt, and then she's wearing, like, this, like, red scarf with, like, white dots.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she just looks very corporate and just very powerful, very, you know, woman of the 90s, ready to take on the world. You know, and then I love how she gets
insert the First Wives Club montage of them building the Cynthia Swan Center, like, behind every great man has a great woman. That's basically what it was like.
Sisters are doing it
for themselves. That's basically what it was like when you get. I love the working montage, like the shoveling papers around montage. People doing that.
We got two montages in the same movie. Like,
I know. An amazing shopping one too.
So I love what Suellen wears to. I think it's like her first or second day of work. It's the brown, it's like the chocolate top and like kind of flowy pants and like the lime green
shirt. It's the first day.
Also I have to say Christina Applegate's earring game in this movie is incredible, like,
and shoulder pad game, the shoulder pads. So good.
I'm trying to think. I love what she's wearing it to her lunch with Gus. It's like a red suit, and she's wearing this like necklace or choker that has a like key.
It's very Kelly Bundy. That outfit was very Kelly Bundy. Yeah, the crosses too, the like gothic cross. It was very like Poison Ivy, like the Drew Barrymore Poison Ivy, which I think will be the next year. Yeah.
I'd say I thought Brian looked adorable in his clown dog outfit.
Oh, I love him! I love him so much. He gives me very Brian Krakow vibes. Yeah. Like, he's just very, like, sweet and innocent and looks so cute.
I loved what Suellen wore on, I think it's her first date. It's sort of like that ruffle top with, like, the exposed shoulders.
Oh, yeah, those were so big.
He
looked really cool too. He had like it was very like West Side Story. He had on like blue shirt with like the white shirt underneath it and like kind of rolled up. It was kind of like 50s style. But yeah, she looked very like Donna Martin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, speaking of Donna Martin, did you see? Okay, so Tori Spelling has a podcast, and it's pretty amazing news. It's hot off the presses. It won't be hot when this episode comes out, but she apparently is finally filing for divorce from that dumb husband that she has.
Oh,
and
really?
And she calls mid podcast to tell him why she's divorcing him, and it's like on the episode.
Oh my god!
Like everyone's talking about it on Twitter. She literally is like telling him like what for, and everyone's like Donna Martin. everyone's like running Donna Martin. I was like, I hope this isn't an April Fool's thing. This is April Fool's. And I hate it being on the internet because everyone just lies about dumb shit. I was like, can we not do this? Like, can we just not? This is dumb. Like, can we not do this? Because I really hope that's true and not some bit. It's just like really funny.
2, 4, 6, 8, let Donna graduate. And then I like love how like her mother comes out in like the middle of the protest and she's like, you're not helping, and then,
like that 90210 is wild.
It's insane.
It's really insane if you think about it. Also one of the taglines for this movie on the back of the DVD says, no rules, no curfew, no baths, no nagging, no pulse. In the fucking marketing room, they're just like, let's just completely lean into the fact that this bitch is dead and that we don't even know what happened. I thought they accidentally killed her. Like, I thought they pushed her down the stairs or something. I didn't think she was gonna like die in her sleep, and you're like, oh, so you wouldn't have gotten in trouble, so why didn't you guys just call the police?
Well,
I guess they would have called the mom, I guess. Yeah.
I mean, I actually would kind of love it if there had been a twist at the end where you found out when the kids had actually killed her. Like,
could you imagine? Yeah. Or it actually would have been really great if they're like, okay, call the cops, the whole thing comes, and then they call the mom, and the mom's like, well, I think they'll be all right. Yeah. You see a video of her like with some hot Australian dude like on a safari in like the outback, and she's like, yeah, I'm not coming back. Yeah. Like, they'll be fine.
Yeah.
And like the rest of the story happens the same way. The mom just refuses to come back early. She's like, no. She's like, no. It's funny.
And so it's like, even I'll be the first to admit my children are just horrible.
I mean, where's the dad? How'd they get this big ass house? I have so many questions. Where is it? But they're in LA, but they're not, because they're like way in the boonies.
Because I think their address is like, it says it, and I think at some point it says that they're in Los Angeles proper. But I'm just like, where the hell is this house? Like,
it's got to be like up in like Hancock Park. But even then, it's not, there's not land like that. And no, there's not Hancock Park. I don't know why I said that. But where? Pasadena?
Because I mean, it looks like they live in like Indiana, you know, like,
yeah,
I mean,
it looks like they live like where they lived in Scream,
yeah,
like central California, where it's like farmland, like Napa. But I think not that far if you go like north, or it's actually pretty close. But LA proper, I don't know, but maybe, I mean, I don't know LA that well, so I mean, there's a possibility.
Yeah
it's kind of crazy.
I'm trying to think. I have a few more outfits. I love, it's like a scene where Rose is like giving Swan like a tour of the facilities after she first starts. And she's wearing this like really like badass, like, you know, like red, like a coat. And she has like these like, brooches of like lizards, like one on her breast and one on her shoulder.
Yeah.
I have to say, I am personally a huge fan of like Nicole's nurse's outfit.
It's like wild. What could you do in that?
I don't know if you want to wear that, if that's what you'd want to see, if you're brought into the emergency room and all the like nurses are wearing that and the doctor says, oh my god, we need to crack his chest now, you know, like,
and you're wearing like a fucking tangerine tights with like these pink lace-up shoes and like a hot pink mini dress,
and you know, no, but it's okay because that outfit is not complete without a stethoscope necklace.
Yeah, right. And that nurse's hat, that like paper hat that like folds like that. God.
So I also like the interview outfit that Swan wears to like her first day. Like it's sort of this like black and white geometric like blouse. And she's wearing those like kind of like half moon earrings. And then my last outfit is, I really like her little little black dress that she wears to the banquet. And she has her hair in a like full on bitch on wheels power braid from hell that I am living for. Living!
Living! You might have been dead, but we were living. That was like the only time I've liked Ariana Grande, when she said that on Drag Race, when like they were pretending to be dead and she's like, you might have been dead, but we were living.
And I mean, that line was probably fed to her, so don't.
Oh, you're right. It probably was. It was like, too good.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, this is too good. It's too good for her.
Yeah. But yeah, so I, that was my like small fraction of outfits that caught my eye. But what about you?
Oh, cool. All right. So yeah, I was trying to, in writing down fashion outfits, because we talk about everything and not just fashion, I'm trying to really edit down to like my favorites, because I could just list everything. So I was like, let me just list like what I really like. My first outfit from Swell that I love is the very start, like the red floral dress, the very like Rayanne type dress that she's in when you see her. She has a really cool hat that's red and black that has the kind of design on it. She has green Doc Martens. She has leggings. She has like necklaces. She has like, it just super Rayanne Graff, like my so-called life, like very much. I love that. I do love that the mom, when you first see her, looks like kind of a hot mess, but then the next time you see her when she's packing, she has this amazing tailored, structured, like bitch on wheels pink jacket.
Yeah,
that she's really wearing cute when she leaves to go to the airport. It's amazingly tailored. She has like such a snatched waist in it. Huge shoulder pads. I thought it looked great with like a black pencil skirt. I was like, she is ready to like do the damn thing when she gets in Australia. Yeah. Like, she is not going in sweatpants.
Yeah.
She said, I'm going to show up looking fly when I meet my boyfriend. I need so much more information about this boyfriend who has a sheep farm, who's paying for everything. And I love how all of her friends are going to Europe. Like, yeah. Those are the extremes. It's like, my mom is going to Australia with her boyfriend who owns a farm, and I don't really care about going to that. And you're all going to Europe, and I'm not. My yeah. mom spent money to, like, hire a woman to watch us all summer. Like, what a drag. What a complete drag. Let's see. Also, I love her lipstick changes in the beginning, which I think we see more when she's not going to work, but she has, like, a really cool, like, purpley lipstick on that was really big in the 90s, more like midnight 90s, but she has it on there. She has like a berry one, she has like a more reddish one. Like, they're just really cool. They really change. Let's see, Kenny. I like Kenny's like metalhead stoner vibe. I like his like kind of, I like that him and all of his friends are like still talking about going to like Guitar Center.
Yeah.
And they're like totally into like all those butt rock bands still, like Motley Crue and Skid Row and all that shit. So I like how they dress. And he has ripped jeans that are like right underneath the butt. Like,
oh, yeah.
You could see them when he was going up the stairs, and I was like, does he have no underwear on? Sir, you are not Jim Morrison. I don't know, like, or Slash. I do not need to see, like, these slits right underneath your butt with, like, skin.
Yeah.
I don't need to see it. You're not Lenny Kravitz. Like, pack it away. No. And then, let's see. You mentioned the boho. I wrote boho executive realness first day of work.
Yeah.
She looked, like, casual. Okay, Bruce... Cunty Mulder, David Duchovny, we have to talk about. I loved his slicked back hair. And when you first see him, he's wearing this like wide, like David Byrne Talking Heads kind of suit with these crazy shoulder pads.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're so cool. And underneath, he has this really patterned, like kind of maybe like a rayon or like a silk type shirt. And it's so fucking 80s. But he is so hot and he looks the fucking same.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of wild. His hair is just a little bit longer, so it's just slicked back, but he looks so good. And even later on, he looks good. He has like that bolo tie on. I think when he has another shirt on and like a really cool suit. Carolyn dresses pretty cool too. That dress that she has when they're like staying behind the office and trying to like ruin this girl's life. She has this blue dress on with like a white piping.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's sort of.
It
sort of reminds me of like a 60s like housewife outfit.
Yes.
Yeah.
It totally did. Yeah. And I think they were they hooking up or were they just like work husband and wife?
I think they were definitely together. Like, I mean.
Oh, and they were like together.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But he looked great. Like, I loved his like deer in headlights kind of look. Like, but it was still, like, bitchy. Like, yeah. I don't know. He was, like, the office gossip. I loved it. Let's see. Rose, the only Rose outfit that I wrote down, the last outfit I feel like was, like, a miss. The bottoms were a real miss at the banquet. Like, the top was this really cool, like, kind of structured and, like, ruched sleeved. And it looked very, like, almost like what Emma Stone was wearing in Poor Things. Yellow outfit that she has, but hers I think is like organza, but this is like a structured like a taffeta or something. But the bottom was like this weird, I think they were like capris, but they were a really weird pattern. They didn't match much. I wonder if it's because you didn't see her full length that well, but I didn't like that last outfit on Rose. But the one I did like was when she has this really cool pullover like nautical type top in the office, and it's blue and white. Also, her wig is sending me throughout this whole thing. Like, every time it moves, it's very Tammy Brown. Like, come on, Teletubby, teleport us to Mars. Like, that's how I feel. It feels very, like, just manic, but I really love it for her energy. And I love Joanna Cassidy. Like, I just think it really works. It really works well. And she has this really cool like gold jewelry and a belt that looks like the Chanel chain. So I want to say it's either Chanel chain or it's something like, I think it is Chanel. I don't think it's Versace. I think it's Chanel, but it looked like she had that around her skirt. Skirt was white, but the bottom was white. It looked really cool. And she had really amazing gold jewelry, which was neat.
I also love how she has like a screen in her office for her to change. Barnes. I know. Like, I was like, oh, is that a thing that we can do? Like,
yeah, well, that was a thing that they did in movies. I mean, yeah, I wonder if they did that in real life, but it is pretty cool. Like, when you're so on the go, but you're not quite high enough to have an executive bathroom, you have like an executive screen, because the real, like, big muckety mucks have like an executive bathroom.
Yeah.
And I love that she's like an executive assistant director or something. Like, she, there's an extra word in her title.
I think she's like the VP of operations, I think is
no, I mean Sue Ellen's title.
Oh, no, she's the executive administrative assistant.
There it is, administrative. Yeah. Now it's just executive assistant, but it's like, I'm the executive administrative. Like, it was like three words. I was like, ooh, okay.
Yeah.
Nice. I do love the green... the green and red kind of blazer with those huge shoulder pads. It looks very Christmas, and she has that scarf on. Mm-hmm. And when she's like yelling at the family, like she always does, like she's always like yelling at them about shit. And then the all-nighter, she has this really cool outfit. She has this hat that's embroidered with like all these multi-colors, and then she also has this super cool like dress. It's when she comes back into the kitchen like late at night. And she's wearing this because she's been at the office. It's when she has that fight with her brother, like they're a married couple.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like that outfit. It's really cool. And also I love all of Kenny's friends' outfits too. Like, I love that they're really committed to the stoner 80s. The Axl Rose poster was pretty crazy. Yeah. Like, that was great. I was like, also a huge question and a very huge misconception is that in 1991, it was not this easy to just like get weed and smoke it.
Yeah,
like it still feels very weird that he was like openly just stoned with his friends in the house all the time in front of his like young siblings. Like,
yeah,
back in 91, it was still something that you kind of hid if you were living at home.
Yeah,
but he acted like he was like 20.
Yeah, I mean, you still had to be careful. Like,
yeah,
I mean,
and he's in LA.
Yeah,
he's not like, you know, I don't know. I thought it was kind of funny, but it was weird how he was like just stoned and they just accepted that.
Yeah.
Like. Okay. I was like, all right, that's just kind of weird.
There was one scene that made me so angry where like he and his friends were trying to get the dog high, and I was like, what is wrong with you?
Oh, I know. That's like, so mean. People used to do that.
I know.
Like, in movies and stuff.
It's not funny. It's not entertaining. Whatever.
Just leave Elvis alone.
He's a corgi, for God's sake.
He's a cute corgi. That like brought this movie up a whole other notch. I was like, corgi! There's a corgi! And then when you called Josh Charles the equivalent of, like, a human corgi, I was like, that is so true. Yeah. He is so a human corgi. Except for when he's in Wet Hot American Summer. He's pretty funny in that. Yeah. I think it's the Netflix one where he's like the preppy guy at the camp, like the fancy camp. I also can't wait to review Wet Hot American Summer at some point. I'll have to do that in like the summertime.
I love that movie.
It's so good. It's so ridiculous. And even the Netflix show was good. The one that was First Day of Camp. The 10 years later one wasn't so good. But the series that was like the First Day of Camp, but it was all told in like one series, but it was one day.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It was so good. If anyone out there wants a really great laugh, it's so good. It's like, even Bradley Cooper made me laugh in that, I have to say.
Yeah.
He was really good in that, I have to say. Cool. That's all I have for my main fashion. Cool. I don't really have any crazy things. Music. Let's move on to music. David Newman I have down here for the music, but I only have two songs written down because like nothing was Shazamable.
Yeah. There's that song Dragon the Line by Beat Goes Bang. Mm-hmm. I feel fine. Talk about peace of so there's that one. We get some Spinal Tap, which made me excited.
Is that the only time it's been played outside of the movie?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that's so cool, because I was like, it's like a mockumentary, like how is it played in like another movie?
And then we get keep the faith during one of the montages, which is like swelling, doing the impossible, balancing work and home life, and just you know just like doing everything. And then we also get Perfect World, you know, after Swell and Brian have a fight, and you find out that this ain't no perfect world.
I honestly think we also were deprived of seeing like Brian be super cute and be like the dad of the family. and know, like right? help her out. Like, I wish that there wasn't that sister connection with him and Carolyn, that she had to like kind of keep her like Bruce Wayne Batman like identity secret. And then of course you knew there was gonna be like a big reveal. And I love how there were multiple reveals. Like, there was the reveal that she was 17, there was the reveal that she was the one that was annoying his sister. And got the job that she wanted. There was the reveal of the petty cash, a home system scam that the family ran on her. Like, there were all these reveals that just kept happening. I was like, oh shit. Then there, my favorite part of the entire movie was the very end. The mom just kind of like walks around and like accepts that this crazy shit happened without her, and she can just basically go back to Australia for all we care. But she basically just goes to out there on the porch drinking with her like little teacup, and then she's like, whatever happened to the babysitter? I was like dying. I was like, holy shit. This is when they bring that up. Like, you bring that up now, this old woman is like magically not there. And like, that's why I want a sequel. Like, what did they say? Just go like, yeah, she died and we, you know, had to work for the money. That's basically why. That's why this whole thing happened.
I mean, I imagine you'd have to say, we don't know. She just took off one day and didn't come back.
Yeah. who knows? Really
weird.
What are the music you got?
I think that's it.
I have Lorraine Lewis Chains, and that's the working like child labor and clean up the house montage. Okay. Also reminds me too of like Camp Nowhere, where they have to like clean everything up and like get ready for the parents' day.
Yeah.
I love when there's always like some kind of thing that they all have to like, they haven't been doing shit this whole time. Like, the house is a fucking wreck. And all of a sudden, like, Kenny somehow like grows a conscience out of nowhere, and she's like, you've got to help me do this, I'm throwing this party, blah, blah, blah. And he's just like, okay, let's all do it. I was like, what, why now? You're not even getting paid, there's no incentive at all to do this. I'd be like, fuck it, fail. Like, I don't care, we're eating in here. Yeah, I didn't write anything else down, but there is an official soundtrack, and part of it is on Spotify, some of it isn't, but there was a soundtrack made for it.
You can apparently still buy a physical CD for this on Amazon. I checked it last week, and it was UCD was about $28. So,
damn, that's a lot.
Yeah, so I was like,
for you,
I want it.
Yeah, I kind of want it though.
I know.
I like the sound. I like the music.
Yeah. So I'm like, I need to wait until it's about $20 lower. Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say under 10.
Yeah.
If I see one under 10, I'll let you know.
Okay.
Maybe even eBay. Check eBay.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, there might be one for under 10. Cool. That's all you have for music? I didn't really have anything because I couldn't
modify
it. Cool. Favorite scenes and lines.
Oh, my God.
My first note is, wow, she's 37? Literally my first note.
That is a heavy 37.
Yeah, it's a hard 37. Hard. Caps.
I'm trying to think.
But I mean, having 5 kids at 37 is a feat.
I mean, you know, Swellen's 17, so she must have had her when she was, what, 20?
Like... And also, what the fuck? They, when they're like, oh, there's no money, let's just call dad. Dad wouldn't care. I'm like, really? 5 of his children are completely stranded and no money and anything, and he doesn't care.
And then I think, like, one of the other kids is like, how about blackmailing dad?
You know? Yeah, I was like, who's the dad?
I think one of my favorite scenes is when, like, Kenny comes home after, like, Mrs. Sturak dies, and he, like, carries the pot plant upstairs, and he, like, puts it on his windowsill, and it falls off, and he's just like, fuck!
Yeah. He's always the one saying fuck. That's true.
I'm trying to think. Just the whole scene of them like disposing of Mrs. Sturak's body. And it just like, you know, I love that reverse shot of like them like opening the trunk, and it's like looking up at them. And then Swan's like, all right, well, listen, go get that tape measure thing out of the garage. And Kenny's like, well, you stop ordering us around. You're not the babysitter. And then Swan's like, yeah, you're right, Kenny. The babysitter's dead. Now just do it.
Oh, my God. It is so crazy.
Yeah.
Like, it is actually so crazy.
And, like, them, like, in the car, like, with the body in the trunk, and Suellen just trying to rationalize it. Just like, I mean, look, I mean, we're saving the ambulance people a trip, right? I mean, you know.
And we're just dropping her off at the mortuary. Like, it'll be fine. They'll take care of her. She has no family. Who cares?
Yeah.
Basically, we're just like, she has no family. Who cares what happens to her?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, God.
Well, they did seem to care once they found out she had the money on her.
I mean, yeah, that was wild. I still want to know how much it was. Like, how much was that?
It had to be like at least a couple thousand dollars, if not more.
It has to be. Two months?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, not 2 weeks, 2 months? I mean, or even a month would be a long time, but 2 months? In the summer, when your kids are off from school.
But like, I mean, I'm sure the mom was probably on a budget, so they probably got like $40 each, you know? So.
Probably, yeah. And not to mention, they were stealing from the mom's purse, too, just like they were stealing from yeah. from Sue Ellen's later. And that was the guy who was Christopher Pettiette or whatever, yeah. Zach. He's the one that was like stealing. He had some pretty cool clothes, too. I forgot to mention some of the kids' fashion. He had this really cool, like, floral paneled, like, button-down shirt.
Mm-hmm.
He had a weird sense of style. He seemed like some kid that was just there.
Yeah.
Same with the girl, too. The girl, she was just, like, kind of there and then not sometimes. I was like, yeah. Where is she?
Well, I mean, I guess she was at Little League practice and, like, you know, burning insects alive.
Oh, that's right, yeah. She was, like, the cool one.
Yeah.
She was, like, the Daria. And then Walter just jumped falling off the roof.
I mean, I did kind of relate to Walter just because of how much TV he watched each day. You know, just like...
I love that every time they flipped it, and even no matter what, he was just, like... staring at it. Yeah. Like, I didn't even know what it was. Watches all the Jeopardy.
there was that weird scene where, like, you know, like, Kenny, like, sits down and he's like, do you ever go outside? And he's just like, no.
No.
And then he just, like, starts flipping the channel and he, like, comes across Julia Child and he's like baking a chocolate cake, and then you just hear Julia be like, whenever you bake a chocolate cake, you really have to have a battle plan.
Yeah. It's true. That is true. This really is true. I love, well, and he also took that in because then Kenny ends up becoming like a sous chef, like yeah. in an hour. So somehow he's like organizing hors d'oeuvres and has Zach as a maitre d' as he like comes back and we don't know where he was. I was like, where was he?
Yeah.
This is seeming very weird. Like, this is strange.
So I love a like balls to the wall getting down to business montage that we mm-hmm. get after Suellen quits Clown Dog, when, you know, she is looking for a job. You see her going through the personal ad, she's working on her resume, so she's mm-hmm. just copying it right out of the book. And you know, and he's, and Kenny's like, are you just copying it out of the book? And Suellen's like, no, not at all.
As she doesn't remember what she put on her resume to get the job.
Home de Garcon in Tokyo.
I know. I was like, I wanted to pause it. I gotta see if I can find a screenshot so I can like click pause it and see what else. But that was the thing that stuck out to me. I was like, what? Tokyo, girl. You better have something to back it up.
But what about you?
Oh, God. I mean, so many. My number three on my list, because we talked about the other ones, was the discovery of petty cash at the job.
Yeah.
That was, like, probably the best. And then I also, like, just the fact that, like, the boss was, like, so sketchy and, like, sleeping around with, like, everyone. Also, this has to be one of the blueprints for Samantha in Sex and the City.
Yeah.
Rose is definitely so much, like, Samantha, and Richard reminds me of Gus. Gus is more smarmy than Richard, but like their relationship, how they're like not exclusive and like he like gets gifts for other mm-hmm. people and shit like that. That kind of reminded me of like Samantha and everything. Also, it's really funny because Sex and the City just came onto Netflix for the first time.
Oh.
And everyone on Twitter is like, oh shit, wait till Gen Z like discovers this. Wait till they discover this. And Gen Z is like commenting, like, how old do you think we are? Like, you think that we don't have HBO and haven't seen Sex and the City already? Like, what the fuck? I was like, yeah, that's a pretty old show. I don't think people are going to like discovering it for the first time unless they're like younger than Z.
Yeah.
Like they would have to be really young, but I thought that was kind of funny. So she definitely reminds me of Samantha, which I thought was great. Well, the beach date with, oh yeah.
Oh no, well, I was going to say she has some great like Samantha-ish lines. Like
the 48-hour orgasm.
Sue Ellen, have you ever had a 48-hour orgasm? I've never been to Santa Barbara.
And then she like keeps going. She like keeps going with a conversation. That was my number four was, oh my God, this dickmatized Rose after being with Gus is like so like Brenda's mom in Six Feet Under. Like, yeah. She carried so many different traits, I think, from this character to that one, because yeah. She was definitely like this, but I loved her, like, obvious dickmatization in that. Yeah. I thought that was really great. And then I wrote, uh-oh, the sister connection's gonna come out. She doesn't want him to know where she works. And I love that he's being, like, really, like, Brian was being really worried about it. He's like, what if I want to send you flowers? She's like, no, you can't know where I work. Ever. And he's like, why? What's going on? I thought that was like really funny. And yeah. I also the front desk girl being Carolyn and just being like so ready to take Swell down at any moment she can.
Yeah.
Like she just is like the adversary that we all like. I wish we had more of her.
Yeah.
I wish we had like more plotting and stuff.
Well, I was trying to think about this movie from like Carolyn's point of view, and like her beef should be with Rose, not necessarily Sue Ellen. But I mean, mm-hmm. You know, I can understand why she'd be upset. You know, if she was told, you know, listen, you have this job, and then someone new comes in, and no one tells her what's going on, then I'd probably be mad too. Like,
but then it just turns out that your boss just doesn't like you.
Yeah,
she still won't give you that job. Even like in the end, I feel like she's like, well. Back to the hiring block, you know, and she's like, well, what?
Well, that's where my unanswered questions we don't find out about is like, what does Rose do next? Because yeah. I mean, does that mean she has to hire Carolyn? I mean, I personally think she should have hired Kathy, but like,
yeah,
I mean,
what the fuck? Kathy said she was having like no work to do. That's why she got farmed out.
But I mean, if she can do the QED report, she can obviously do the goddamn job. Like, I mean,
yeah, totally.
That's all there is to it.
Oh, Kathy. And I also love, too, that we find out about this home system petty cash scam that we didn't know about. I guess she had no time to even see that there was a stereo in her living room because she just didn't see it for who knows how long. And then, of course, I think it's Melissa, the sister, where she's like, quit your job, get out while you can. Just the way she says it. I was like, oh my God. So then when they find out that there's like this mad drama, there's some bullshit with like, you know, Rose is freaking out because the client now doesn't like this presentation for school uniforms. And this is what Sue Ellen told them. She's like, kids don't want uniforms. They want to be able to wear what they want. This is crazy. You never should have done this. I love when she's having this breakdown. She spills Skittles all over the floor. And Rose is like stress eating Skittles, being like, I'm going to lose my job. I was like, oh, this is so real. Like, this is when it becomes a thriller. Because you're like, I've definitely done this or wanted to. And then I wrote, this labor sequence is troubling, but damn, this house looks good.
Yeah, like, it looks like, incredible.
This house looks so nice and cozy. I love it. And then of my last favorite scene was that marriage fight with her brother. Yeah. Where they're both like having this like mother dad relationship fight, but it's just really funny because she's like, I'm working all day, I have to sit in traffic, wake up at 5:30 in the morning. He's like, oh yeah, well I'm sitting around here taking care of these kids and cooking and cleaning and doing all this work. Like, I thought it was really funny how they kind of get into that, and she's like, oh, this is for you. So then she has this,
no, well, I actually have the exact quote here.
Oh, you do? Oh, what is it?
I don't believe this. I have to get up at 5:30 every morning so I can beat rush hour traffic into the city and go sit behind a desk for 8 hours every day on my summer vacation without watching Oprah Winfrey. And then I get to drive home in gridlock in a Volvo.
Hey, I used to have a Volvo. There's nothing wrong with one, but there was at the time.
With no air conditioning, just so I can take care of you guys and put food on the damn table. Yes, life is a rat race and it sucks, Kenny. So what do you want, a medal?
Ooh, she gave him a dose of reality. Is what she did. She no crumbs. She ate him up. She was like, no. I also love too. And after they have this this function at the house, this gala, whatever, and then Carolyn is still trying to be like the biggest kiss ass to Rose, and she's like, "See, she's a child. She's 17," and she just like rats her out, and then like you just see Rose going, "Grow up, Carolyn." She's like, I don't care. That teenager did better than anyone else has ever done. And the fact that she just gave, like, grow up, Carolyn.
Do you think it's possible that Rose knew the entire time and just was just like, meh, you know, let's just see what happens, you know?
I mean, no. I think if she's at a senior VP level, she's not even seeing her employment records.
Yeah.
Also, I want to know, how did she, like, lie when she got medical coverage? When she got Walter's foot bandaged up, and she's like, oh, it's great, it's fine, he has to come back, but I have great medical coverage, like, at the end when the mom comes back. I was like, wait, but you would have to have given an ID when you, like, do a W-9.
Yeah.
Or, like, when you actually work. Or not W-9, but, like, when you actually fill out your fucking, like, 1040s and shit. Like, you would have to, like, have a real ID to be taxed and to work there. So they would have found out. That's why I'm like, they just skipped all that. And we're like, just pay her, hire her, give her the benefits. We don't care. We're desperate.
I
just lucked into it.
I do love that scene that takes place in the hospital after Walter breaks his leg, when, like, Swellen and, like, Kenny start to, like, fight, and the doctor's like, is he your son too? And Swan's like, no, he's my stepson. And Kane's like, yeah, that's why we don't get along so well.
I love it. They like think that she's the mom, but she's like 17, but also looks 35 at the same time.
Yeah,
just because of the clothes, they're like, she must be the mom. It's really funny
that like whole scene at her like office when Carolyn answers the phone, like, and Rose and Gus are there too, and you like briefly hear Carolyn in the back and just be like, General Peril West, you know, and you know, like, and then you're in the back and you say, is this a joke? And then she just, and then it cuts to the scene, and she's like, Swellen, the hospital's online, there's a problem with your son. And everyone's like, what?
Yeah, know? They're all like, I didn't know you, especially Rose's face. She's like, she's young and she has a child and she's like been doing all this crazy work and she's just trying to get this guy to move in with her, but she's like, he doesn't want to commit, you know, men, they're all the same. Meanwhile, this girl's out here with two children later on, and then, you know, stepkids, divorced.
There is a great like line when towards the middle, when Swellen and Rose are leaving for the day, and and Rose is like, why don't you go home, have a glass of wine, put some cucumbers on slices on your face, you'll feel much better. And then Swellen's like, I'm allowed a cucumbers. And Rose's like, Swellen, every girl over 25 should have a cucumber in the house.
I know. I was like, did she just say that at a PG-13 film? Like, in a theater, is there some 10-year-old who's like, what's that?
I was like,
what's that mean?
I remember hearing that line, and then at the grocery store being like, Mom, can we get some cucumbers? I need to slice them up and put them on my eyes.
He's like, oh my God. It's starting. You're like 9. You're like, I saw it in the movie. And she's like, oh, okay. So funny. And also we get the amazing fashion runway collection of like the most acid trip ass uniforms you've ever seen, but somehow they like it.
I was like, yeah.
I love this.
And then despite this like huge scene of like shit that like unfolds, where like Brian is like declaring his love for Swellen, and the mother comes home, and Swellen's still like keeping it together, like she's just like, yeah, everything's fine, ha 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 ha. And it's like, and then she's kind of like breaks down. It's like, I'm 17 and I can't even vote yet. So
I know that's her big thing. She's like, I can't even vote. Like, yeah. I'd be like, I can't do shit. I'm still can't even really work. She really reminds me at the end of that girl from Can't Hardly Wait whose house it was.
Yeah.
Where she was like manic about everything, about them not going in the living room, and then they do, and then like someone has like poop on their shoes and they get it all over the house, and then they break the door handle of the bathroom. Like, it just reminds me of like, everyone, we're gonna be calm. And Kenny's freaking out in the kitchen. He's like some fucking Gordon Ramsay all of a sudden. He's like sending people out with trays, and they're just like, they've enlisted like the little league team with their uniforms on. Yeah. Like, they're hustling.
Yeah.
And the fact that at the end Rose is just like, well, have you reconsidered, you know, like, fuck college. Just come work with me. You're making, like, what more than what college kids are going to make anyway.
Oh, yeah. So like, I looked up Sue Ellen's salary of $37,500 in 1991. That translates to about 87 that like grand what? Today. Yeah.
So. Damn. Yeah. So like, why the fuck are you going to college? Like,
yeah,
literally just stay there. They're already taking out pension and savings, girl. You're set. Yeah. I wanted there to be one of those like epilogues where it's like 2 years later or like 1 year later, and you see her like in an apartment, like mm-hmm. her own apartment, and like go. I'm like, design school. You designed those.
Yeah.
But she probably wants a better job, because I love that at first she thinks they make designer clothes, and Rose is like, oh no, we don't make designer clothes. Here's our fucking sweatshop downstairs. Like, we make all this crazy uniform.
We are
shit.
In the bowels of the fashion industry.
Yeah. We're basically like Shein or Fashion Nova right now. That would be the equivalent. It's like, no, we're just making like shitty, cheap clothes. We're just fast fashion, really. So funny. And then, of course, we got the classic line, where's the babysitter? And also, I need another series and an episode on the dinner that Rose invites Sue Ellen to have, just like Kiki and his girlfriends.
Yeah, like,
where's
yeah.
that movie? Where's that Thelma and Louise movie that needs to happen from one of their Kikis at dinner and some crazy shit happens and they take off across the country? Like, I need yeah. that movie. I need the Sue Ellen Rose story. Like, I need that Thelma and Louise immediately. But
oh my God,
this
was...
movie...
That'd be so good.
Yeah. So fucking good. Joanna Cassidy and Christina Applegate. There's still time.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You guys can still try to make something happen. But I really liked it. I'm actually curious to see the new one that's coming out, I think, in a few weeks.
I'd actually be curious to see it too. So
yeah, I wonder if it's going to be like funny in like a different way, which it should be good, because this is a really good, fun story that I don't mind people rebooting.
Yeah.
Because it's just a fun, it's just like a really fun idea. And just, it's really cool to see kids kind of take on adult roles and then mm-hmm. do really well in them, and they don't fail and they end up keeping it together. So it's pretty good. They had to grow up, but God bless Christina Applegate.
Yeah. Thank God.
I love her. I mentioned that we're going to do Real World. We're going to do In the Bedroom. It's going to be our forward flash. And then for our backtrack, we're going to do, Virginia Woolf, right?
Yeah, who's afraid of Virginia Woolf.
Yeah. So we're going to do that. And then I think me and Mike are going to do more Buffy, another chunk of Buffy season 4. So look out for that in April. And then I think I'm going to do the first episode of Flight of the Conchords. Love that fucking show with Jules.
Oh, nice.
So that'll be on the Patreon. And then, SLC Punk remix. I don't know. Maybe I'll put that out after this one. I'm not sure which one you'll hear first, but I just redid the SLC Punk episode because I fucking love that movie. And but outside of that, like, review, subscribe, share, rate, give us 5 stars, tell your friends, and we'll see you on the next one.
Bye.
Bye.